Good morning to each one of you. It was good to hear your different testimonies. I guess my testimony from this last week is I was working a couple days with a guy that was helping us just for a couple days. And the one day, he had quite a rough day. He comes in there in the morning. He was a little late coming. And he's like, he's just having a bad day today. Him and his girlfriend had a big argument that morning, and it wasn't going very good. And so, I mean, well, he was divorced. He was saying how, well, currently he does not have a job right now. And he was saying that back in the day, him and his uncle had a business, and really good business, he claimed. And then his uncle went off and got married, so they quit doing the business. And he got divorced, and basically he said he drank all his, he had a semi, sold that so he could drink, drank all his money away. And I was just happened to think, like, how thankful I am for the heritage I have, for the church I have. He don't even have a church family, and for a loving wife that I have, that I don't have to worry about those big arguments. Yes, we do have disagreements, but I don't think ever to that level. So I'm just thankful for, yeah, what I have. It's not what I did, but definitely what God has blessed me with. So this morning, I really appreciate the devotional. It says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness," or in other words, for his loving kindness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And this morning, I want to talk about love. We just came through Valentine's. I'm not sure. Yeah. If you celebrated Valentine's, if you bought a $80 bouquet of flowers that'll die in 2 days, or got chocolates that'll disappear in a couple hours, or whatever. But I was listening to a podcast the other week on marriage, and they were saying that they feel, or they think, that Valentine's Day is the single worst day for marriages. That was different for me to hear. But they said we spend so much time thinking of Valentine's Day, put so much emphasis on it, that quite often our spouse or whoever does not meet them expectations, and then we're highly disappointed, upset, and everything else. They claim, or they were saying that applications, I'm not sure if applications, but looking into divorce goes up after Valentine's Day. So the one day that's supposed to bring us together is actually harming us. But anyways, that's not what I'm talking about this morning, not the love of a marriage. That's tonight. I encourage you to come tonight. I hear there's going to be some interesting love stories being shared tonight. Yes, I'm looking at you, Dale and Kay. But anyways, come tonight and hear what they have all to share. So, love. How do we love? And I guess the best way to love, or to show love, is to look at God's love to us. And so that's what I want to look at this morning, God's love. And one of the problems with looking at an attribute of God is that we put focus on one attribute, and we cannot do that with God, because God is so much more than one attribute. So, when I'm focusing on God's love, realize that I know, like, God is love, but God is so much more than love. God has wrath, God has anger, God has judgment. So I'm not coming at it from a point of view that you can do whatever you like or whatever you want, because God is love and he will not punish you. That is simply false. He will punish you if you do not repent of your sins. So saying all that, I do believe that love is one of God's strongest attributes. His love is what draws us to him in the first place, or what draws us back to him after we sin or need repentance. God's love is perfect. It's faithful. It's unconditional. It's forgiving. It's all-encompassing. It's pure. It's sacrificial. It's strong. It's refreshing. It's redeeming, everlasting, full, inspiring, hope-filled, gracious, and the list could go on and on and on. There is no way we can grasp the magnitude of God's love. But there is a couple things I want to look at, that what is God's love. And I think the first thing we need to understand and realize, that the very being of God is love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." And then verse 16, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." You know, God's love to us is not based on our feelings about him. It's just simply who he is. God is love. Also, God's love is eternal. It has no end, or no beginning and no end. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yes, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." In Psalms 103:17, "But the mercy," or the love, "of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children." And I want to turn to Genesis chapter 3 for an example of, at the very beginning of time, God exemplified or showed his love to Adam and Eve. Genesis 3, 22 through 24. "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us." So this is right after Adam and Eve sinned, and God is conversing with them. "Is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and to know, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life, and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life." Now you might say, well, hold on, that don't sound like love to me. And in a sense, it doesn't. But God knew in his almighty love that Adam and Eve had sinned, and if they had taken the part of that tree of life and lived forever, what a wretched state that had been. So it was out of his love for them that he drove them out of the garden so they could not live forever. And he promised them a redeemer in a couple verses before that, a redeemer for them and for each one of us because of his love. And then I want to turn to Revelations 22. So we've seen at the beginning of time his love, and now at the end of time, we can see his love. Revelations 22, 12 through 14. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of that city. Because of his love, he has went and prepared a place for each one of us. And because of his love, each one of us can spend eternity in that city with him forever and ever. So we can see beginning of time, at the beginning of the Bible, and at the end of the Bible, it's all about God's love. And every page in between tells and shows about God's love to us as man. Also, God's love is unconditional. How often do we put or try to put conditions on God's love to us? John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's not who loves him. It's for the whole world. Those that don't love him, God still loved them, that he gave his only Son to die for them and to redeem them. Then let's turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Verse 9 and 10, then down to 19. "And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Then down to verse 19. "We love him because he first loved us." He didn't love us because we loved him first. He loved us without our love to him. It has nothing to do with us coming to him first. He just simply loves us. And then on to Ephesians 2. So often we want to put his love for us on our works. You know, we think that, oh, we're good enough for whatever, that he's going to love us. But let's look at what Ephesians 2 says, 1 through 9. "And you hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In verse 4 and 5 there in the ESV it says, but God being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. So in verse 2 and 3 there it says, where in time past he walked according to the course of this world, and the spirit that worketh in the children of disobedience, and then while we were in the lust of our flesh, while we were fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and by nature the children of wrath, when we were in that, God loved us. It was nothing we did or can do or will do. God's love is unconditional. He just simply loves us because that's who he is. Now, God's love is patient. Psalms 86:15 says, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. The patience of God is his love for us to give us another chance, because he does not want us to perish. And I was just thinking of, you know, the testimonies. Just thinking of this last weekend there at the Purity Conference, of the one guy that had his testimony. And isn't that all of our testimonies? It's only by the patience of God that he gives us another chance. So often each one of us should have been struck dead multiple times, but God is so patient with us. So patient. Some of the examples of God's patience are the time of Noah. Noah preached for years and years, pleading, begging for the people to repent of their sins. But they would not. God's patience with them. Also, Sodom and Gomorrah, God had patience with them. Abraham kept pleading with him. Well, surely if there's this many righteous people, you won't destroy it. But in the end, he did. So God's love does not run out, but God's patience will run out with us if we do not heed to God's love. And so often, God's patience emboldens us into thinking that is approval of God, or that judgment is not coming. Did we ever think about that? What about your life? I know I've thought of that in my life. Well, it must not be too bad, or it must not be wrong, because no judgment has come upon me for it. But God's patience is not approval for our sin. His patience is his longing for you to repent and come back to him. Also, the Ninevites. When God asked Jonah to go preach to them, he knew the patience of God, but yet he just despised the Ninevites so much that he did not want God to show that patience and love to them, that they would repent. And God showed patience to Jonah as well. He could have just got swallowed. Anyways, it reminds me, I just seen a video the other day of, I don't know, two kayakers. I forget where they were at. But the one kayaker actually got swallowed by a whale. And it was his dad and his son. They were out kayaking. And a whale came up and swallowed the guy. And the guy, or the dad, was kept yelling for his son. And I don't know, 10 seconds, 20 seconds later, the guy pops up out of the water. But yeah, that was the closest thing I ever saw him do, Jonah. But anyways, God could have just destroyed him right there with the whale, but he didn't. The patience of God with Jonah and with also the Ninevites. What about the Apostle Paul? It would have saved a lot of death if God would have just destroyed Paul at the beginning. But thank God that he didn't. He was patient with Paul. And Paul finally turned his life over and around to God. Then also I want to go to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, 1 through 4. It says, "Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for within thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same thing." And there, that very first word, it says, "Therefore." And so what is it there for? I think we need to go back up to chapter 1. And here, Paul is telling the people that he's talking to, the Romans, of, well, in chapter 9, he's talking of these people that are filled with all kinds of evil and bad things. And he gives a whole list there of just the wickedness of these people. And then to verse 32 says, "Who, knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them." So he's saying these people know that judgment is coming, or they should know, that judgment will come with to them that are committing these horrible things. But then he goes on into chapter 2, it says, so these people are like not committing these bad things, and so they think they are a lot better than the ones that are committing these, but Paul has other things to tell them. In verse 2, "But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things." So he's saying, just because you're not committing them horrible things, you still have sin in your life that you need to repent of and that you need to make right. "And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such thing, dost the same that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" He's telling them that you're not going to escape the judgment of God. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering?" So here he's telling them, just because God is having patience with you doesn't mean he is accepting what you are doing. It doesn't mean he approves of what you are doing. "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth..." Somebody else is speaking. "Not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. So the whole purpose of God's patience for us and his love for us is to bring us back to repentance, not acceptance of what we are doing. Now, what are we going to do with God's love? How are we going to show that love to those sitting in the pew right next to you? And that could be a whole another 10-hour sermon, I'm sure. But are we going to have that eternal love for each of us? Love that does not quit. It's not always going to be easy. Are we going to have that unconditional love for each other? That somebody doesn't have to do nice things for us or to us in order for us to love them. God just simply loves. Are we going to do that? It's kind of like parents with children. The children didn't do anything to deserve their love or to deserve love from their parents. But there's something, I don't know, when a child is born into your family, there's just love there. Not saying that it's always easy. Somebody told me one time that they can understand why some animals eat their youngs. But they also said, thank God that God's love is living in me because I have no desire to do that. But it is difficult sometimes. And it's going to be difficult sometimes for us to love each other. But God commands it. We need to love each other. It doesn't matter what somebody does to us. We need to love, even though it may be hard at times. And God's love is patient. That can be the hard thing sometimes. Are we patient with each other? Can we love each other? Matthew 23:37 in the New King James Version says, O Jerusalem, the Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How oft I wanted to gather your children together as hens, or as a hen gathereth her chicks under her wings, but ye were not willing. God wants to wrap you up in his arms of love. He desires it. He longs for it. But are we like the Jerusalem? Are we holding him at bay? Are we not allowing him to wrap his arms of love around us? Are we going to accept it? Or are we going to reject it? God's love knows no boundaries or limits. And there's no place too deep, too dark for us to go out of the reach of God's love. He cares so much for us. And the good thing is, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Let's all turn to Romans chapter 8. I would like to say, though, there is nothing that we can see here on earth or in the skies above us or things that we can't even see, but there is one thing that can separate us from the love of God, and that is me. Each one of us, it is our choice if we're going to accept that love or reject that love. But it's only us that can separate us from that love. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? It is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, for height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you so, so much for that love. I just pray that each one of us would just receive that love, and that each one of us would just let that love flow through each one of us into other people, that we might just show other people, tell other people about that love. Lord, I just pray a blessing on each one here this morning. I just pray that we would be true followers of you, that each one of us would be receivers of that love. But Lord, we also know that you are love and you love each one of us. We also know that you are also a God of judgment. And I just pray that we would make our things right with you, Lord, that we would not have to face the wrath and the judgment of you, Lord, but that we might just feel your love. Just thank you for being patient with us, that time after time after time we failed you, but you don't give up on us. You continue to love us. Just thank you for that. I just pray that you just go with us today, strengthen, encourage each one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.